Good morning, everyone. Good to be together. Just thank Eric for being here this morning, even though he's had a night shift. Come straight from work. He's just popped out so we can talk about him now. Don't tell him, Sonny. It's good that I really appreciate the work that Eric does and Sonny and Yonatan too in preparing for the service and being faithful in keeping it going. I said to Eric last week, I said there will be a day when this service will be the same number of people as the second service. We'll see that one day. Eric says he doesn't mind, doesn't bother him, but I just think that it will happen, and we'll grow in this service and our ability to explore both our Jewish prayer and also this is a good place for us to study the Word of God as well. So I've got a chance to do a drush this morning. He really gives me a chance. So he has my opportunity. No, it's actually good. And I'm going to be doing this drush in the second service as well. So I'm going to give a bit of an overview of what I'm going to say and go into more detail. Okay, so today we have a reading. We're going to, for the second service, roll back the scroll right to the beginning, right to the beginning, to Bereshit, to the beginning where it all began, or where at least we are told how it all began. It already existed before God was already there. He created all things, as they say in Latin, ex nihilo, out of nothing, but he was already there. I love the way that the Bible begins. It doesn't try and explain the history of God. You know, it just starts, you know, in the beginning God was already there. So let's have a look at those verses and also from John. So we've been celebrating Sukkot, and Sukkot ended on Sunday, then immediately followed by the eighth day celebration, Shemini Atzeret, the eighth day celebration. And in Israel, it's only one day celebration, but in the diaspora here in Australia, it's a two-day celebration in a sense. That we have the Shemini Atzeret and also Simchat Torah, the joy of the Torah, rejoicing in the Torah. It's actually a fun-filled holiday where you parade the Torah around and dance around and do seven circuits around the shul. One day when we have our own facility, God willing, in the next year, we'll have our own Simchat Torah service. All right, so Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 13. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. By the way, that's where, of course, we get the idea that the day starts in the evening. There was evening, and there was morning the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. And may God make the expanse," "and God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse." That's where we get the Hebrew name, Bashamayim, the waters above the waters. And the heavens are waters above the waters. And God said, and God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening, and there was morning the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And if I'm correct, I think that into that one place uses the Hebrew word mikveh, which is also where we get the idea of a gathering of water, in which we are immersed into. And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit, in which there is seed, each according to its kind on the earth. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. The New Testament reading we're going to have this morning really, of course, picks up on this creation account, and it's the Gospel of John. Chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things came to be through him, and without him nothing made had been. In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not suppressed it. There was a man sent from God whose name was Yochanan. He came to be a testimony, to bear witness concerning the light, so that through him everyone might put his trust in God and be faithful to him. He himself was not the light. No, he came to bear witness concerning the light. He was the true light, which gives light to everyone entering into the world. He was in the world. The world came to be through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own homeland, yet his own people did not receive him. But to as many as did receive him, to those who put their trust in his person and power, he gave the right to become children of God, not because of bloodline, physical impulse, or human intention, but because of God. The Word became a human being and lived with us, and we saw his Shekhinah, the Shekhinah of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Yochanan witnessed concerning him when he cried out, this is the man I was talking about when I said, the one coming after me has come to rank ahead of me, because he exists before me. We have all received from his fullness, yes, grace upon grace, for the Torah was given through Moshe. Grace and truth came through Yeshua the Messiah. No one has ever seen God, but the only and unique Son, who is identical with God and is at the Father's side, he has made him known. So what supercharged texts that we've just read from Bereshit, as well as from the Gospel of John. And this is what I want to focus on today. Is this reading from the first few words of Bereshit, as well as in comparison to the account of John. So in Genesis, we have, I'm going backwards. Oh, okay, sorry, can you pop it over? Yeah. To my other PowerPoint, thanks. Genesis chapter 1, 1 to 3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Excuse me. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. I love these first few verses of Genesis. Because right in the beginning, we see God, of course, the Eternal One. We see him. He's not introduced to us. It's just that he is there already, revealed in his fullness as well. In fact, we see in the first three verses of the Bible the triune nature of God, I believe. We see God, the Eternal One, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. We also see, of course, the Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of God, in verse 2. And, of course, in verse 3, we see the Word of God revealed. Vayomer Elohim, Yehi Ovei, sorry, let me say Elohim, Yehi Ovei, He All. God said, let there be light, and there was light. I love the way that God spoke and light appeared. God spoke and the world came to into existence. Later, the psalmist would pick up on this in Psalm 33, verse 6. By the word of Adonai, the heavens were made, and their whole host by the breath of his mouth. So the psalmist picks up on this whole idea that it was through the word of God that God brought the world into existence. And of course, that's a very interesting thought. It's interesting how the word of God is personified. This happens a lot through scriptures. For instance, of course, we see in the Proverbs of how wisdom is personified, actually, as a woman, funny enough. Actually, no, it's not so funny. It's so true. My wife is very wise, always tells me things that I should be aware of, and I need to listen to her more and more. Wisdom is personified as a woman in the Proverbs, and it talks about wisdom walking in the streets, wisdom calling out to those who would be wise. And so it is also with the Word of God. The Word of God is personified, assigned also divine attributes, implying divine status. So in the Bible, often we see the Word of God as God Himself speaking, yet also distinct from God. So it's the Word of God, distinct from God, yet God Himself speaking. For instance, in the Bible, when God speaks to the prophets in the Scriptures, we often read words like this: the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. It's not that God spoke to Jeremiah. It says the word of the Lord came. It's almost as if the word of the Lord appeared personally to Jeremiah. Well, it says, for instance, the word of the Lord appeared to Ezekiel. It's a phrase that is often used in the prophets. It's very personal. It's as if God manifests himself through his word in a very personal way. Now, in Jewish theology and literature, the word of God is often called memra, the memra, which is an Aramaic word. The memra is the divine creative word, manifesting God's power and glory in the material world, acting as his agent and as the mediator between God and men. The term memra, I'm not even using my PowerPoint. Yonatan, maybe you can use my PowerPoint. Just keep on clicking through it. It's too much for me to look to the side there. Okay, so the term memra is used hundreds of times in the Aramaic Targums. The Targums are ancient paraphrases of the Bible, just like we have today certain paraphrases of the Bible, like, for instance, Eugene Peterson's The Message. It's not the Bible, it's only the paraphrase of the Bible. But what he is trying to do is interpret the Bible, give it contemporary meaning so that people can read it and understand it. That's basically what the Targums were in those days. It was a paraphrase of the Scripture in order to help teach the Scripture. And so there's a lot of Targums, different Targums for different books of the Bible. And of course, these have been used for centuries, and some of those Targums go back to the time of Yeshua. So for instance, we see in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, the Torah says, so God created humankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. The Targum says, and the memra of the Lord created the man in his own likeness. Very interesting concept that the memra of the Lord created man in his likeness. God being incorporeal, who doesn't have a body. This is what's argued by the rabbis. Then didn't make man in his image, but man was made in the image of the memra of the word of God. Just a thought to consider, but certainly that's how the Targum sees it. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, in the Torah it says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden." The Targum says, "And they heard the sound of the word of the Lord God walking in the garden." Genesis chapter 28, verse 20 to 21. "If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God." This is, of course, Jacob speaking when he had to go out. And he made a vow and a promise with God. In the Targum it says, "If the word of the Lord will be with me, then the word of the Lord will be my God." So there again, you see how it's the word of the Lord is used in place of God himself. And there are hundreds of more examples of this interchanging of God and the word of God, the Memra, throughout Jewish literature. In fact, the Memra is even seen as a mediator between God and man, as reflected in this quote from the Targum Yerushalayim, or Targum Yonatan. It's a Targum on Deuteronomy 4, verse 7. "The Memra brings Israel nigh unto God and sits on his throne, receiving the prayers of Israel." Isn't that really fascinating in this ancient paraphrase? The Memra brings Israel nigh unto God and sits on his throne, receiving the prayers of Israel. The Jewish Encyclopedia also says, "In the Targums, the Memra figures constantly as the manifestation of the divine power, or as God's messenger in place of God himself." Rabbinical thought also links the Memra to the Messiah. And so this is what we'll explore in the Gospel of John. So often we kind of get, as Messianic believers, accused of introducing some kind of Greek thought, Greek philosophy into biblical faith. And certainly in this whole idea of the Memra, we can see that no, this is a very strong Jewish concept, that the Memra of God is the one that is made manifest, is the Memra of God, the Memra of God who appears personally to people, the Memra of God who is both God yet distinct from God, and is the mediator. And so these things are not Greek philosophy, but Jewish theology. So for instance, in John chapter 1, verse 1, we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." So he didn't, he wasn't created, the Word of God wasn't created, he was already with God in the beginning. Just as God was not created and didn't need any introduction, so the Word was with him all that time, for eternity past. "All things came to be through him, and without him nothing made had been." So here John, the writer of the Gospel, uses the term logos to refer to the Word of God. Now in Greek philosophy, logos had two concepts, the concept of reason and the concept of speech. Thus some Bible commentators claim that John was trying to show how Yeshua fulfilled the goals of Greek philosophy in both areas, reason and speech. By reason, he was the very idea of God, and by speech, he was the very expression of God. But as Arnold Fruchtenbaum points out in the study that I'm drawing on, he points out that that's all well and good to know, except for one major problem. Yochanan, John, by profession, was not a Greek philosopher, but a Jewish fisherman. And so he wasn't thinking of Greek philosophy, he was thinking of Jewish theology, he was thinking of the Memra, but the only word that he could find in Greek that's similar to Memra is logos. So he used that word, but really he was thinking of a Jewish way, not a Greek way. And even the writings of the rabbis at that time taught that there were six things that were true about the Memra. Now I'm not going to go into detail in these, but in the second service. The six things that were true about the Memra, which we can also then pick up in the Gospel of John chapter 1. First of all, the memra is the same but distinct from God. Two, the memra is the agent of creation. Three, the memra is the agent of salvation. Four, the memra is the visible manifestation of God's presence. Five, the memra is the agent of revelation that we see very clearly throughout the scriptures. The memra is brings the word of God, is the word of God. And sixth, the memra is the seal of the covenants. Very interesting as well. The memra was the seal of the covenants by which through which God sealed and signed the covenants with Israel. And so we'll look in more detail in the second service how that compares to the Gospel of John chapter 1. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word to us today. In the beginning, you created all things. Lord, we thank you that you were there right before the foundations of this earth. Lord, we thank you for creating the heavens and the earth. Thank you for bringing order out of the chaos. Thank you that light expels the darkness. Thank you that the Word of God created the heavens and the earth. And we thank you that, Lord, the Word of God was made flesh and came to dwell among us. Lord, we bless you and we thank you for such an amazing privilege and amazing revelation that we are so privileged to know. So, Lord, we pray that you help us to understand more, that we might learn better, be good disciples, and be able to explain your word to others. So we pray for your blessing upon us today. May your word dwell in our hearts richly today. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Thank you. Let's stand for the Aaronic benediction.